In 1947 Germany, a population recovering from the brutality of Hitler's regime, took some small comfort in a book called Every Man Dies Alone, written by Hans Falada. It was the first novel by a German author that told the story of the small acts of domestic resistance against the Nazis. The book waited years for an English translation, but when it finally came out, readers loved its portrait of the working people of Berlin, ordinary but heroic. Brave, foolhardy, and vividly real. Now it's a film called Alone in Berlin. It just premiered at the Berlin International Film Festival and opens in theaters later this year. Susan Stone has more from Berlin.
An ordinary middle-class working couple is just trying to keep their heads down in 1940s Berlin. Then their son is killed on the battlefield. Grief sparks them into defiance. They begin writing anti-fascist postcards bearing small truths like, "Mothers, Hitler will kill your son too," and leaving them in public places. Anna and Otto Quangel are played by Emma Thompson and Brendan Gleeson.
It's like with a machine. A little sand in the gears will not stop the machine. But if a person throws a little more sand and more, the motor begins to stutter. The assembly line stops.
They hope others will follow their lead.
In my mind, I see lots of people throwing sand in the gears.
You are romantic, Otto Quangel.
I'm a mechanic.
Yeah, that too.
Their story comes from a 1947 novel by German writer Hans Falada called Every Man Dies Alone. It wasn't published in English until 2009, after Dennis Johnson got a tip from designer Diane von Furstenberg.
She said it's just a crime that nobody's reading Hans Falada in English anymore, and so I went off in pursuit.
Johnson runs publisher Melville House. He learned that Falada's novels had been international bestsellers between the two world wars, chosen as Book of the Month Club selections, even made into Hollywood films, which got Falada, whose real name was Rudolf Ditson, blacklisted by the Nazis.
Taking the title Every Man Dies Alone, you could say Every Man Rides Alone.
That's Rudolf's son, Ulrich Ditson, speaking at a literary event in 2010. He explained that his father was driven to write.
In his mind, ceaselessly, the next chapter developed. So by 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, he got up, brewed himself some coffee, and sat down to work. It was a quite fantastic and awful rule that on no day should he write less than the day before.
Ditson said his father wrote to live, desperate to support his family. And like his characters, Ditson lost a loved one in battle, his brother in World War I. But Every Man Dies Alone has its roots in yet another real-life tale, explains Dennis Johnson.
This file was the actual Gestapo file on Otto and Elise Hempel. And as you can see here, the second page is their mugshots.
Johnson pages through a copy of the file, which was given to Rudolf Ditson after the war. Otto and Elise Hempel were executed in 1943 for distributing postcards with messages like, "Hitler's war is the workers' death." Ditson turned their story into the first anti-fascist novel of the post-war period. The English translation became a surprise hit, selling more than 500,000 copies, resonating with readers everywhere.
Something happened in me. It was as if there was like something in me that was calling and needed to tell that story.
Spanish-German actor and director Vincent Perez wanted his film to portray the pervasive fear that dominates life under a dictatorship. Otto Quangel leaves his first postcard in a busy office building. He could be discovered at any moment, on the sidewalk, in the doorway, on each step of the spiraling staircase.
The fear is one of the main characters of the film. I wanted to fill the air, the space in the movie with that fear.
Perez's family lived through that kind of fear. His grandfather was shot by fascists in Spain. After Perez acquired the film rights, he traveled to Germany to do research and learned that his great-uncle had been killed in a gas chamber and another uncle died fighting on the Russian front.
I understand why I needed to make that film, because I wanted to tell their story. But it's not only about their stories. It's my story, it's your story, it's the story from so many millions of people suffered from those incredible wars. The apocalypse fell onto Europe. We have to be very careful not to start that again.
Rudolf Ditson died just weeks before his final novel was published, after a lifelong battle with depression, alcohol, and drugs. He left behind more than a dozen novels, as well as essays, memoirs, and children's books, telling the stories and struggles of ordinary Germans in turbulent times. Still, publisher Dennis Johnson says Ditson thought he never did enough.
He had done all he could do, and all he could do was write.
Like his characters, the Quangles, and their inspiration, he resisted the only way he knew how, by using his pen as a weapon. For NPR News, I'm Susan Stone in Berlin.